on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Human Services. We've already started moving this month fast. It is August 5th, 2003. And today we're going to hear a grant application request. I think that CDC has been very busy and sending us and wanting to send us some dollars to help us with our economic situation here in Oregon. And we will also have an amendment just to do a little repair on House Bill 5061, which we've heard. We will do both a hearing as well as I'm going to open the hearing on the DHS federal grant application request and a work session simultaneously.
Okay.
So with that, let's see who else coming up to talk to us about the grant. Barry, would you bring everyone up? And I assured we have Vita Latin who's with us, and she is head of the HIV program in Portland. And I told her that this body was very kind, and this is her first time appearing before the legislature, and she knows that you're all very courteous and very considerate, and we welcome you to Salem.
Thank you.
With that, Cindy, you want to get us started?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Jones, for the record, with Legislative Fiscal Office. You should have received a packet yesterday with the two federal grants in them. One of it is an information systems grant. The other one is the severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, and the severe pneumonia syndrome grant application. The first one would be the to approve a submission of a federal request for a grant for an information systems from the National Library of Medicine. The grant's approximately $150,000 for 3 years, and it's not renewable. The funds, if awarded, Department of Human Services will streamline 20 of their existing databases into one centralized database. There are no matching fund requirements. Barry.
Madam Chair, Barry Cast, Assistant Director for Health Services, Department of Human Services. We have a couple of grants today, and we'll have an opportunity to meet a couple of our managers that are responsible for some of the important things that we do. And it's an opportunity, I think, for us to improve our communication with the committee and give you the information you need, as well as introduce you and establish a more personal understanding of the people who are actually doing the work that you're directing us to do. Vita Latin is here from our HIV, Sexually Transmitted Diseases and Tuberculosis program, which we call HST, just because it's so cumbersome, all of those words. And she will discuss this grant with you. I just want to point out that the grant isn't due until October 1st, and the funds, when they become available, assuming that this grant is awarded, would begin in 2004, so we have plenty of time.
You're trying to tell me that you're not bringing me and asking for approval after the fact.
Exactly, Madam Chair.
Okay. So it's noted.
Madam Chair, do they get points that they can use, you know, like sort of trade if they come in late next time? Is that the
I don't think
so. Like a pollution tax credit.
This is a
credit for grants.
I would think that they probably noted all the discussion that's been happening in the past with respect to grant applications. You may continue, Barry.
I'm going to ask Vita Latin to walk you through this grant so you can get an understanding of what its activities and outcomes will be.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Vita Latin, and as Barry said, I am the program manager for HIV, Sexually Transmitted Diseases, and the Tuberculosis Program with the Department of Human Services. This grant, we are hoping that we will use the grant to streamline 20 existing databases into one central server. Currently, this is for our HIV client services section, and we have standalone computers in the 20 different sites. We do not have the availability to gather the information ourselves, and at the program level, we're required to wait on the counties to actually send in reports before we can compile reports to submit to our funder. And the funder for this grant is, the grant is for the National Library of Medicine, but our main funder is HRSA, which is the Health Resources Services Administration.
Who told her how to come back and pronounce it? So, because Rosie is still around.
Did they advise you about Rosie?
No, she did a good job. She came back and
I don't know
back
Rosie.
Well, in this committee, in this committee, we've had two piggybacks, and one was Rosie, and one is with name Rosette. And in fact, Rosette was contributed by Katie, and we collected. We would find individuals for using acronyms. And they contributed to Rosie. And you have done very well today because you have not used an acronym at all. So Senator Carter thought maybe you were coached ahead of time.
But and also, Madam Chair, you know you have to always introduce them to
the protocol.
Yes, right.
Okay. I told her that you would be nice.
I'm nice.
So, Tenny.
So, I think our program is actually, we know that, can I say HRSA now? Because mm-hmm. I explained it, what it was. HRSA will be introducing new software in May, and basically we're trying to prepare ourselves by finding another funding source to pay for the computer upgrades that will be needed. And if we are allowed to and receive this grant, it would also pay for it give us funds to help pay for the training that we currently do. But this would eliminate us having to go out to the 20 sites to install software. It would be in one site. We believe we would end up saving money as far as the staff time for travel and those sort of things.
You might want to share, and I don't know if all of our members have had this opportunity. Some of us have visited HIV sites. I've been to one in New York, and I've been to one in Washington, D.C., and you might want to explain to this body some of the work that you're doing and that is occurring in Oregon. Also, you might want to share with us the population that you're serving and what you see that's occurring with the HIV and the sexually transmitted disease increase that's occurring. Just to give not all of our members.
I thought you said you were going to be nice.
I am.
Okay. Our program is actually, I have actually five different programs in our little section. The program that this one is related to is our HIV client services. We provide access to medical care for people who are living with HIV and AIDS. We do that through several sources. We a lot of times purchase insurance so that people can have access to the doctors and the prescriptions. We also pay for the case management services that occur at the county levels, either at the county level or community-based organizations, where the case managers work directly with the clients to identify barriers to accessing care, barriers that are related to housing, transportation. Our goal is to try and help eliminate some of those barriers so people can continue to see their medical providers and have access to the medication, and we believe that helps them stay healthier. So as far as this program, we pay for the case management services through the counties, and we believe the case managers are currently responsible for not only working with the clients, but they also are responsible for entering that information into those 20 databases that I talked about earlier. In addition to that, they are responsible for coming up with monthly or quarterly reports that they have to provide to us. We believe that once we centralize the service, once they enter the data into the computer system, they will no longer have to take the time to do the monthly reports. We will be able to generate that ourselves because it's just one server, and all the information will be coming into that one server.
Thank you.
Can I just ask one question?
It's nice. Senator Carter.
What are you seeing after she gave us all this information, so she knows this question management. What are you seeing in terms of the numbers of African-American women with AIDS in the Portland area?
What we see, Senator Carter, is that when we look at the numbers, the proportion is higher among African-Americans. The numbers are small, but because we are a small community, the proportion is growing. But when you look at percentages, you don't see that as much because, again, we're so small. But when you look at our proportion and we look at the proportion in the nation, we're doing fairly well. When you look at the cities back in the East Coast, you see that African Americans are a huge percentage of the new HIV cases. So we are doing better, but we're not doing well. I mean, we still have work to do.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. George.
Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, I am George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services. We recommend that you approve this request.
Cindy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends approval of this request with the understanding that the agency will come back to the emergency board if they need additional limitation or positions.
Senator Carter.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve the request for the Department of Health Services in requesting authority to apply for a federal information systems grant from the National Library of Medicine.
Senator Carter moves that we approve the request for a grant of $150,000 per year for 3 years for information systems from the National Library of Medicine with the understanding that the agency, should they need additional expenditure limitation authority or FTEs, they will come back to the emergency board. Are there any objections? No. Senator Carter. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
And you didn't even have to pay Rosie.
That's right. And, Madam Chair, I just wanted to just say how we started to baptize you, but since you look so nervous, we decided not to.
Right there. The next request.
Yes, Madam Chair.
No, I'm sorry, Cindy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the second request for a federal grant is a severe acute respiratory syndrome and severe pneumonia syndrome grant application. It's for approximately $150,000 will be rewarded for a period of September 1 through December 29, 2003, with another possible award for the calendar year 2004. The grant application is due August 14th, 2002. Oh, excuse me, that's a typo, 2003. And there are no matching fund requirements.
Okay, Barry.
Madam Chair, just by way of introduction, although the numbers worldwide were not huge, the epidemic of severe acute respiratory syndrome, which everybody now refers to as SARS, really was a frightening event and a wake-up call about the fact that we're one flight away from exposure. A large percentage of the people who contracted this illness were healthcare providers. This is a grant application that Dr. Paul Cieslak will describe for you, which addresses the monitoring of respiratory infections of this kind among health professionals, and I think that he's better equipped. Dr. Cieslak is, if you recall, during our hearings, we talked about emerging infections and acute illness, and Dr. Cieslak is in charge of that whole branch of our epidemiology program that keeps an eye on what's happening with Norwalk virus, Salmonella, all these diseases that that are of concern to us and that we need to be sensitive to and to anticipate. And Dr. Cieslak.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thanks. For the record, my name is Dr. Paul Cieslak. I manage the Communicable Disease Program within the Department of Human Services. Most of you have heard of the outbreak of severe acute respiratory syndrome. There were 8,437 cases reported worldwide last year. The United States had 33 probable cases and 159 suspect cases. You may be aware that the city of Toronto, Canada, had a much worse experience than we did. They had 250 probable cases and a bunch of suspect on top of that. And because there was transmission within the city of Toronto, a lot of public health measures had to be undertaken. Apparently about 19,000 people ended up being under house quarantine and things like that. So it's our challenge here, I think, to figure out how best to detect this disease as early as possible so that we can respond to it before it gets out of control. And what we're coming up with is, because healthcare workers seem to be at the biggest risk for this disease, let's try to detect disease among healthcare workers as soon as possible. And we're going to work with the Association for Professionals in Infection Control. Every hospital has an infection control practitioner, usually a nurse who looks for infections within the hospital. And we're going to try to get them to tell us whenever they see a case of pneumonia brought into the hospital among someone who works there as a healthcare worker. Because healthcare workers are sort of magnets for sick people. And where do sick people go? They go to the healthcare workers. And in Toronto, a solid plurality of the cases ended up being in healthcare workers. So they're at the biggest risk. We decided we can't sort of look for pneumonia in everybody and try to do, you know, the million-dollar workup on everybody who comes in with pneumonia. So we went for this highest risk group with the thought that that would most efficiently lead us to detect the cases earliest. So basically our plan is to work with these folks, get them to tell us about these cases, and then to have the appropriate specimen sent to the state public health lab where we can test for the virus that causes the severe acute respiratory syndrome.
Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When these grants are awarded, in order to implement them, do you promulgate rules to make the grants effective? Or what's behind my question is, you know, our state is not a large state, but $150,000 is not a large sum of money. And how can you effectively implement a program with $150,000 short of promulgating rules that require certain things of hospitals and burdens with a corresponding cost effect to the hospital and the medical community? And if you could elaborate just a little bit on how that interfaces and how it works, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, thanks for the question. It's an interesting question. I would argue, first of all, that the severe acute respiratory syndrome already is reportable by law in the state of Oregon. We have our reporting rules, and of course we didn't specify severe acute respiratory syndrome, but we have this wastebasket category that says any condition of potential public health significance needs to be reported. And we specify a few examples. One of them we give is Ebola virus. Now, we don't have any Ebola in Oregon, and we don't take the time to tell everybody you got to report Ebola. It just isn't here. But we trust that with this wastebasket category, they would call us up if they got a case of Ebola. And the same thing pertains to SARS. We could go through the hearings process and make a rule and make this specific. But again, I like to think that the healthcare community is on the ball enough where they would recognize the public health implications of this particular condition and do it voluntarily. Much of what we do is voluntary, including the activities that we're planning to do under this funding. We are planning to give some money to the Association for Professionals in Infection Control. They'll typically use that for education and things like that. But we'll work with them voluntarily to tell us when these things happen. We've been pretty successful with this kind of project in the past. We have very good relations with the Association for Professionals in Infection Control. The current chair of that organization is a public health nurse in Multnomah County. Some of my staff members are members of that association, formerly worked in infection control. So we have this collaborative sort of approach, and that's what we plan to take.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your work and for bringing the grant forward. This will allow you to work with hospitals in the state. Can you? Does this mean a certain number of hospitals, or can you elaborate on what that looks like?
Sure, Madam Chair, Senator Gordley. There are about 63 hospitals in the state of Oregon, and we plan to work with all of them, frankly. We have something of an ongoing relationship with the infection control personnel in each of those facilities, and we will show up at their monthly meetings as well to tell them about the project, but we do plan to contact all of them.
Thank you very much.
Senator Carter?
I am so glad to see this grant before us, because if we can't keep our first responders healthy, how can we keep society healthy? So this is an excellent piece of legislation that is coming before us, and I like the direction in which you're going, because if we, as you said, keep our first responders healthy, then they can afford to help with the greater issues in our society.
Thank you, Senator.
George?
Madam Chair, the Department of Administrative Services recommends that you approve this request.
Cindy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, LFO recommends approval of the request with the understanding that the agency will return to the emergency board for any needed limitation or positions.
Representative Smith moves.
Yes, I move that we accept the grant application request for acute for SARS and all the other stuff that goes with it.
Representative Smith moves that we accept the that we approve the grant application request of $150,000 for severe acute respiratory syndrome and severe pneumonia syndrome from the Federal Center for Disease Control and Prevention, with the understanding that should the agency require an additional expenditure limitation or position authority, they will return to the emergency board. Senator Carter.
She further moves that severe acute respiratory syndrome will cost her $3 for Rosette.
Guilty as charged, Madam Chair. I accept my penalty.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
Hey.
Representative Smith.
Hey.
My pockets are empty now.
You know, she said she's not carrying a charge account, a credit card anymore.
Yeah, cash.
Cash up front. Cindy, give us the next item, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 5061 is back before the full committee, the subcommittee, to for a technical fix. The bill was to ratify the fees established during the 2001-03 biennium, and now it needs to be amended for a correction of the descriptions relating to the public health laboratory. You should have gotten a packet of information with the amendments in it. And the correction was for, we were changing the on-site trip fee tier one and the on-site trip fee tier two and three. So in other words, the on-site trip fee tier one should be tier two. On-site trip fee tier two should be tier three. And the newborn screening test should be a single specimen test kit. And then there should be a double specimen test kit.
Mentioned.
Senator Carter.
This is just housekeeping. I move that we move the dash four amendment to House Bill 5061.
Senator Carter moves that we accept the approve the dash four amendment to House Bill 5061 to the Full Ways and Means Committee with the due pass recommendation. Are there any objections?
No, ma'am.
Senator Morris.
May I just ask a question?
You certainly may.
Before we vote. The home care fees, are those paid by the individual home care providers?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, we do have a member from a representative from the agency here to answer.
Senator Carter, Senator Morris, Bill Coulomb with DHS Program Operations. The fee is paid for by the company that is employing the in-home care staff.
Follow up. Madam Chair. I understand that there are individual providers within the system that are not affiliated with maybe an organization. Is that in fact correct? If it is, do these individuals then pay that fee?
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, that would be correct if they're not affiliated with an organization and if they have reported as an in-home care agency. Our program has not yet identified all organizations or individuals that may be providing in-home care. This is a relatively new program, and they are working on that.
Madam Chair. The reason I raise that issue is if you have an individual provider with a $350 initial fee, and I apologize, I went up and left that file, but as I recall from memory, there are it's an initial licensing fee and an annual fee. The initial licensing fee is $500, and the in-home care annual licensing fee is $350. If we are assessing that kind of fee against an individual,
I believe it's an agency,
we have a problem.
George, please.
Madam Chair, Senator Morris, my understanding is that this fee is only assessed against in-home agencies, which are entities that are professional corporations that employ individuals to do this work. My understanding is that this fee is not assessed against what we call our client employed provider program, which is a single individual who goes into another person's home to do work for them. So this, and my understanding is that this only applies to the agencies themselves and not the individuals.
Thank you.
Okay. Does that clarify it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any further questions? Are there any objections?
Can I have a second moment? I'll need somebody from the House side.
Did you record me as an objection?
Did you object?
No.
Oh, no, I didn't. Okay. It was unanimous.
Thank you.
Yeah. Senator Gordley.
Thank you. I just have a request. The testimony of Vita Latin reminds me, and I'm sure it reminds all of us, of all of the hardworking, dedicated public health professionals working out there around our state, and many of whom are working in really extraordinary circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I would like to request that at some point, and before the session comes to a close soon, that we send a letter thanking them for their work and thanking them for all that they do to improve the quality of health and well-being and safety of Oregonians. Again, I think Ms. Latin's testimony about what we're experiencing with AIDS, HIV, AIDS in some of our communities just kind of drives home that point for me.
Thank you. We can do that. I would also add to that, and I would encourage members of this committee to actually schedule a visit some of the various programs in our state. Some of us, I personally, and I know that Senator Porter, and I'm sure maybe Gordley, have visited centers nationally, and Oregon is not excluded from the national issue of HIV, AIDS, and sexually transmitted disease issue. And I think it's well for us as policymakers to have a clear understanding of what's existing, and as we make policy decisions that affect the lives of these individuals. I'm encouraged to and hope that in this state we will put a lot of emphasis on prevention, as well as providing care for those who have already been diagnosed. If you look nationally, there's some huge issues when Senator Carter raised and asked what was going on with the increase in African American women. There is an increase across the country of women with HIV, and the Oregon is not excluded from our issue of drug use. Some of this is transmitted through the exchanging of needles and other forms. We all tend to see it as maybe an issue that's only the controversial sex side. That's not true. And I think that the more we understand various diseases and what have you, and the need to try to work to combat those, the clearer our policy decisions become. And I would encourage you to maybe get with Vita and Katie and others and begin to visit some of these facilities. I think it'll be very enlightening what you see and individuals who are affected in our state by the sexually transmitted disease issue. So I think we will send a letter to thank the before we leave this building, our employees who really are on the front line and trying to make this a better state to live in. Senator Carter.
Can I just add to that in the sense that I don't know whether others have noticed it, but it certainly is very evident to me. If there is any agency that has come before us, and I'd like this to be included in the letter if our colleagues agree, none has been like a Department of Health in terms of its diversity. I think the hats should be off to Barry Cast and the Health Division for what they have done in diversifying that agency. And it much more replicates society in general. You see African Americans, you see Asians, you see white women, and you see other people of color. So if there is an example of an agency doing their job and doing it well so that all Oregonians might eat and put food on the table for their kids as well as everybody, it's that agency. So kudos, Madam Chair, to the Department of Health and Barry Cast and his work.
Be careful. Now, I don't give too much to Barry right now. He still has to come back. Session hasn't ended yet, Barry.
There is room because he has to do it through the other agencies that he's in charge of.
But we do appreciate your testimony, and we hope we weren't too harsh on you today, Ms. Latin. But come back and see us again. And with that, we are adjourned.